a young intelligence specialist translator, and members of the USA force based in Augusta, Georgia, arrives home after work one day in June of 2017 to find the FBI waiting for her with a search warrant. This is the true story of Reality Lee Winner, a whistleblower whose actions fueled a media storm over apparent Russian interference in the 2016 US general election, the reverberations of which are still being felt today. With dialogue taken verbatim from the transcript of the actual encounter between the 25-year-old woman and two FBI agents who interrogated her, Reality is the debut feature film from screenwriter and playwright Tina Satter. It opens in Irish cinemas this weekend. The film stars Sydney Sweeney, who many of you will know from her work on The White Lotus, Euphoria and The Handmaid's Tale. I'm delighted to be joined on the programme live this evening by Tina Satter. This is an extraordinary story. First of all, Tina, how did you come across, or where did you come across the story of, it's a wonderful name, isn't it? Reality Lee Winner.
So the movie, tracks what happened to Reality on June 3rd, 2017. And that's when she, you know, is arrested ultimately that day and first comes into the U.S. news. But she wasn't even in the United States. The story just wasn't covered very much. So I, of course, the name stuck out and there was like, you know, a mugshot of her that I had seen somewhere, but I didn't really follow the story very much. Really, no one really did. And then 6 months later, a publication in the US, I think New York Magazine had did a longer form story on her with more pictures. And I was just free reading online and came upon that. And something about the pictures really caught me. She was so young and she's in like her Pikachu gear. And I was like, this is the young woman who was the whistleblower. And there was just more details. And the article also had a link to this transcript of the day she was visited by the FBI. And I had never read something like that. So I clicked the link. And as soon as I started reading this scanned PDF of this encounter Reality had at her home in the verbatim language, I just was totally mesmerized by her within that transcript and what had gone down at her house that day. And I just was really kind of obsessed from then on.
And am I right in saying that the dialogue that we hear spoken in the film is precisely the words that are written down in that transcript? Maybe some of them maybe some of them aren't there. You couldn't give us the entire transcript, but it's an edited version of. But you have not added any words into this. All the words are in the transcript.
Yes, not added anything, and no dialogue manipulated to change the story in any way. Like they are saying what they said that day.
And you didn't shift the order of anything, you know, for dramatic purposes.
Didn't shift the order, no. Did have to take in certain sections that are like that were really long. Like there's a section where they talk to her about CrossFit and working out on the front lawn, and it's a kind of a strangely long conversation even in the movie now. That was even longer. So that was a section like trimmed slightly without changing the meaning, but just where it repeated itself so that I could keep sort of the taut shape of the encounter for the movie and the length.
Which tells us a lot, I mean, about this extraordinary transcript that it was almost, in fact, this was a play first. You put it on stage, first of all, but it was almost a play script. It was almost a screenplay without you, before you did anything to it. Certainly in terms of the dialogue, it was all down there.
That's what I thought when I stumbled upon it. I mean, I was like, oh my God, this is a thriller. Like she's going head to head. I'm like scrolling through. I'm like, when do they catch her? Like she keeps talking to them. Oh my gosh, now they're going to talk about cats. Like these really crazy diversions. Like it just felt like it was such incredible material. And then the fact that it was real was like, of course, this incredible frame of it. But yes, to me, it felt very ready made within the transcript itself.
All right, so she is out. The first moment of the film is her arriving home to her house. So let's listen to that opening moment where the agents are talking to her outside her own house and she's meeting them for the first time. Garrick and Taylor are the two agents. Sydney Sweeney is the young woman, Reality, Josh Hamilton and Marshawn Davis playing the two agents, Garrick and Taylor, respectively. Just listen to it first and I'll ask a question about it afterwards.
The is my partner. What partner? Wally Taylor.
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
How are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good. How's your day today?
That's pretty good. Just got some groceries.
All right.
Let's show you who we are.
Okay, well, the reason we're here today is that we have a search warrant for your house.
Okay.
All right. Do you know what this might be about?
I have no idea.
Okay. This is about possible mishandling of classified information.
Oh my goodness, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly would say, oh my goodness, okay, if you heard two FBI agents saying that to you outside your home. That's Sidney Sweeney, Josh Hamilton and Marchant Davis there as Sidney Sweeney playing the character of Reality in the film Reality, and the FBI agents Garrick and Taylor. I'm speaking with the writer and director of the film, Tina Satter, this evening. At the beginning of that clip that we heard there, Tina, there's the muffled sound, a sound of a muffled recording. Did you get access to the audio of this interview as well, or was it purely the transcript that you had?
I have never heard the audio. I just work from the transcript.
Yeah, so what we heard at the beginning was a mock-up, if you like, of the transcript, because we get certain sections where we're only seeing audio on screen, but that's the actors acting out that particular dialogue.
Yes, exactly. And it was funny hearing on the radio. I'm like, oh my God, it almost sounds really real. like we could be hearing the actual transcript. It was kind of cool. We're at that point where they're following totally. That's the beginning of the transcript. These very banal hellos, but you can, obviously simmering under it is, they are really there to talk to her about something very serious.
Yeah. And I mean, that was one of the things that struck me listening to that clip today. I mean, I was on the edge of my seat the whole time watching the film, but when you hear that opening section, you realise just how tense the situation was. And in some ways, the Sidney Sweeney character, and she's not a character, the person, reality winner, she's quite calm. She's kind of unnervingly calm when the FBI arrive at her garden at the front of her house.
Yeah, Reality has, since told me, and she talked about this with Sydney. They spoke for Sydney's prep on the movie. She really had no idea why they were there at first. It did not occur to her. The piece that would run that used her classified information that she had sent had not yet run. So she was genuinely confused at first, catches on very quickly, obviously, because she's super smart, and then was just really trying to stay really calm with them because it was pretty terrifying. They were armed. They all had concealed weapons, which she could see because you can actually essentially see concealed weapons. And she was really scared her cat was going to get out of the house and that she'd have to make a sudden move. And then, she could get that they were going to shoot her or something. So she really, for a range of reasons, performs and acts a kind of calm poise for so much of it.
But that's interesting that you say that Sidney Sweeney, and indeed you spoke to Reality Winner herself, the real person. What did that add to it, particularly in terms of what was written down on the page is exactly what they say. So if there's a hesitation, we see the hesitation written down. If there's a bad piece of bad grammar or whatever, if a sentence is stated badly, that's what's written down. It is verbatim, exactly what was said. So you didn't change any of that. You keep all of those hesitations in there. Speaking to Reality herself, did that help with getting that, I suppose, no pun intended, the reality of her voice and the reality of the way she spoke?
That is, Sid could speak more to that. Like Sydney was really, spoke to Reality and so took that in at, they would speak and FaceTime and stuff. And then Sydney has talked about watching how Reality moved her mouth and formed words. But in terms of the emotion under, Sydney also might've talked to her about Reality about that. But I always just sort of work with the transcript as my guide. And what I got from reality was much more like detailed stuff. What, you know, once I was turning it into the movie and wanted to understand like how many cars actually pulled up. Like it was very logistical based, like when more FBI agents arrived, how many cars was that? And then she started sharing these great details. Like I didn't know that they'd actually put that yellow tape around the yard, you know, like the crime scene tape. And she told us that the agents were actually wearing these brightly colored golf shirts, some of them, like the support agents. So for my conversations with her, it was this, these great, amazing details that made it even more specific to that day.
So we get the reality of what's happening around the place, the number of agents that arrive, all of that. When do we find out and what they were doing there and why were they there in the first place? Yeah, there was something about a classified document. What exactly were they looking for?
They were looking for, she had released top secret classified information that proved that the Russians had attempted to hack into election software and election communications in a specific part of Florida in the United States. And she had access to that through her security clearance. And that's what she had mailed to The Intercept.
So where we have this kind of half relaxed conversation, as you mentioned, getting the dog out of the house and making sure the cat doesn't escape and all of those kind of very ordinary domestic things. It then moves into the house and it becomes an altogether a much more tense, a tenser situation.
Yeah, because, you know, they ask her first if they asked her in real life that day, they asked, you know, did she want to stay at home or go to the FBI offices that were nearby? She says she wants to stay at home. So then I don't know what they would have preferred, actually, that, you know, it's hard to know that. But then they want to take her to a room that's quiet because they're recording. And so she says there's this room and she basically says she doesn't really want to go into this room and it weirds her out. But they're like, we can go there. So they take her into that back room. They say, is there any furniture? She's like, I'm not big on furniture. So they're in. I mean, it's sort of another kind of surreal but real detail. This like strange room that she doesn't use with no furniture in it. And then they shut the door. So it's like they can record quietly. And then you have these two men with guns strapped to their body talking to this young woman in a closed up room in the back of her house. I mean, it does get you. Yeah, it changes. The energy definitely changes once they have her back there.
Yeah, and I think this second clip that I'm going to play gives a sense of how the stakes have got much higher at this point. Merchant Davis, who plays the agent Taylor, he's left in the room more or less by himself. There's another guy standing at the door and he gives reality just a little bit of advice about what you should and shouldn't do when you're talking to an FBI agent.
Reality. We obviously know a lot more than what we're telling you at this point. And I think you know a lot more than what you're telling us at this point. I don't want you to go down the wrong road. I think you need to stop and think about what you're saying and what you're doing. I think it's an opportunity to maybe tell the truth, because telling a lie to an FBI agent is not gonna be the right thing. Okay, again, we're here voluntarily, you're talking voluntarily. I'm not asking you, forcing you to do anything, but think. That's what I'm asking you to do, is think.
And that's Marshawn Davis as Agent Taylor in Reality, the film that writer and director Tina Satter is speaking to me about this evening. Voluntarily, it's quite a loaded word when you hear it spoken within the dialogue like that, isn't it, Tina?
It totally is. And I mean, it really was, legally, that was what the FBI considers a non-custodial interview, meaning she was technically free to have said, I'm not going to talk to you and leave. But as they do early in the film, they tell her they need her cell phone and her car keys, and her car has been, you know, is now blocked by FBI cars that have moved behind it. So it's, you know, it's a pretty tricky situation in which to have felt autonomy, for sure. So yeah, the voluntary thing is really loaded, as they say that, under the circumstances to which they're speaking to her by then.
You had already performed, or you had written and directed. And when I say written, I'm not being disparaging to say you had taken the verbatim text and put it down as a script. That's what you did. But you did obviously then direct that, both on stage and in the film. You directed the emotional temperature, I suppose, of each of the various scenes and each of the various moments within that. And how did you? I presume there was an attempt in your head to, in your mind, to get close to what you felt that emotional temperature would have been.
Yeah, I mean, I having done stage so many plays, language tells you so much, right? And obviously in screenplays, you go from that too, and that's the code for the actors and the designers, and of course myself as the director. So each, working with these incredible actors I work with on stage, and then these remarkable actors, Sydney, Josh, and Marchant in the film, in both sets of times, the conversations with those actors, we really all felt there were so many clues to the emotional trajectory of those characters, and especially reality within that transcript. And then even for Garrick, who has the most stutters and stuff, there's so many clues for us, to take from that language. And that's really what I leaned into to feel those scenes, and sort of like with my, like, you know, kind of gut instincts on what, and trying to put myself in reality shoes, and then even the agent shoes of like, what did it mean in those sentences, and knowing what it builds to and stuff. It was just sort of that really close dramatic reading of the transcript to draw that out.
How big a change, or how big a shift was it to move the transcript and the presentation of the transcript from a piece of verbatim theatre to a piece of verbatim filmmaking?
It's they're kind of like night and day, the projects, actually, with the exception of like the words and then, the extraordinary reality winner person. The play, the actors, and these were incredible stage actors, incredible actors in general, but would step on stage. It was just on a platform, really no set. There was, incredible lighting, and we had music and stuff, and they just start the conversation, and there was a really specific movement score as they'd move on stage, but it was just really hearing the language. And so the movie, why I was so excited to do the movie is I'd always been really excited by the idea of how intense and vulnerable it was for reality to be questioned in her own home, in her bedroom by these people she doesn't know are coming to her house. So it was like getting to show the details of her world of this particular day in her house, her car, and these amazing close-ups to get a little more of the subjectivity of what it really felt like for her to look at those men, to be seen in her home by them. I mean, they're quite different in that way. The visual landscape of the movie is just a whole different beast than the stage play.
And the other important detail, I think, is obviously parts of the transcript, perhaps not obviously, but there are bits of the transcript that are redacted on the page. And we see sometimes what we see on the screen is the page of the transcript itself, and then suddenly this black line across a bit. And I remember being very frustrated the first time I saw the first piece of redaction. I went, I want to know what that says. Now, we see that sometimes, but you also explain what you do at other times to make a visual representation that isn't just showing us the black line on the, across a printed page. You have other ways of doing that on screen, which I thought were incredibly creative.
Yeah, it's so funny you say that, because that's how redactions on the page were for me. It's like you come to them and you're like, oh my God. And you really feel like the unseen hand of power, right? Like someone's saying you can't read that, and it's really wild. Something has been disappeared. So that's so evocative, like on the transcript. And I was really curious. And then in the edit of like, what could we do that, was so kind of effective as coming to that. And so this idea of disappearing, the speaker from the scene, like literally redacting them out, they are just gone, was what we started experimenting with in the edit. It was really another exciting breakthrough, I think, when we realized that that could kind of hold in those moments, because they happen in very tense moments. So you want to keep the movie like moving forward. But again, suddenly she's gone, like her words were taken away from that transcript because they've been deemed, wrong by someone. So were sort of playing with that metaphor.
The shot on screen is, let's say, of reality's face, and suddenly she just disappears from the shot. The shot doesn't change. It's just without her there. And then she comes back when the piece of redaction is gone. It's incredibly effective, I must say. Final question. Has reality, I don't know if you, would she have had a chance to see the play? Has she seen the play, or has she seen the film yet? Maybe more importantly.
No, Reality did not see the play because when the play was out, she still was and is still not able to leave the Southern District of Texas. She's not allowed to do that or to vote until November 2024. She's not seen the movie because it is too traumatic for her to watch and relive it. She's been incredibly supportive of it. For her, it's very meaningful that people see her in her own voice in this and that people see what these kind of arrests are like, but it's too much for her currently to still watch it. But her mom and sister and other family members and friends that are close to her have watched it, you know, and let her know they think it's a really strong representation of her. And she's receiving so much support from the, it about to premiere. So I think it's, yeah, it's complicated for her, but she's been so supportive of it. She just can't relive it yet and watch it.
Well, it's an extraordinary piece of filmmaking. I would love to have seen the play as well, because that would bring a different type of energy, I'm sure, too. But lovely to have spoken with you this evening, Tina. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much.
That's Tina Satter there, writer and director of the film Reality, which opens in Irish cinemas this weekend. And we will be reviewing it on Thursday night's Arena.